Judges of the United States Court of Appeals in and for the 7th Judicial Circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention. This court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning. First case of the morning, the International Insurance versus Kaja. Mr. DiNardo.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, I'm James DiNardo, and I represent the defendant, Appellant, Caja Nacional y Ahorro Seguro, which I'll refer to as Caja Nacional. This case comes here on appeal from a default judgment entered by the district court against Caja Nacional. Excuse me. The default came about because the district court struck Caja's answer and affirmative defenses and required them to post prejudgment security before they could file another answer or affirmative defense. Caja claimed that it was immune from prejudgment security under Section 1609 of the Federal Sovereign Immunities Act because it was an instrumentality of the government of Argentina. The district court held that it was an instrumentality, but that because the United States was a signatory to the New York Convention, which preceded the Federal Sovereign Immunities Act, the discretion given to the district court by the New York Convention to give prejudgment security superseded the sovereign immunity. Caja did not file an answer and the default was entered. The questions on appeal are whether or not Caja is an instrumentality of the government of Argentina, whether they are immune from posting prejudgment security under the provisions of Section 1609 of the Federal Sovereign Immunities Act, whether the New York Convention is a pre-existing treaty in relation to Argentina because Argentina had not signed it at the time the Federal Sovereign Immunities Act was enacted, whether Caja explicitly waived its immunity granted to it under Section 1609 by entering into the New York Convention in 1989, 13 years after the Federal Sovereign Immunities Act was enacted, and whether or not, finally, the district court exercised its discretion in giving prejudgment interest or simply decided that prejudgment security, not interest, was required. This case arose in the district court when the plaintiff, International Insurance Company, filed a petition to enforce an arbitration award that had been given against Caja. In answer to the petition, Caja filed an answer with some affirmative defenses. The plaintiff filed a motion to strike the answer and affirmative defenses because Caja had not posted prejudgment security as required by the Illinois statute. In response, Caja asserted its defense of immunity from prejudgment security under the Sovereign Immunities Act. The plaintiff replied. The judge held that Caja was not entitled to the immunity because it had signed the New York Convention. Because the United States had signed the New York Convention prior to the Sovereign Immunities Act and required Caja to post prejudgment security before it could file an answer.
So who owns Caja Nacional?
It is wholly owned by the government of Argentina.
And is there any affidavit that you provided to the court from some government officials to that effect?
Yes, Your Honor. We provided an affidavit, first of all, from the attorney for Caja, and second of all, an affidavit from the attorney for the administrator of Caja.
Right. And so, and from my review of those affidavits, it's not clear that the Argentinian government owns Caja.
Both of those affidavits say that Caja is wholly owned by the government of Argentina.
But there was not any additional evidence provided to the district court.
Well, there was also a copy of the, it's referred to in the pleadings as the July 31, 1988 document, translated from Spanish to English, which set forth that the liabilities and assets of Caja were transferred to the National Treasury of Argentina.
Isn't there some official, something that would be just really easy to identify this as opposed to the kind of indirect references?
I don't know, Your Honor. These are the documents which Caja's supplied us to supply to the district court.
Was that satisfactory to you? You couldn't get anything more definitive that just says this is, I don't know what kind of charter or corporate entity or whatever, but it would seem...
That's what we were provided. Two affidavits saying it's wholly owned and a document translated.
Did you ask for anything else?
I don't know, Your Honor. I don't know. I didn't handle the case. I don't know. So, but the point also, once that evidence is submitted, there's a presumption that they're an instrumentality, and the plaintiffs really haven't filed nothing to dispute that.
Weren't there some cases existing that disputed whether or not they're owned by Argentina?
I'm sorry,
what? Aren't there some cases that make some findings related to that issue?
None that are cited in the briefs or in the pleas in the trial court. The plaintiff submitted some documents that he got off a website, which are hearsay and which are not sufficient to overcome the presumption that they're wholly owned by the Argentine government. So, Caja didn't file an answer for affirmative defenses, and a default was entered. After we asserted that Caja is an instrumentality of the government of Argentina, and there's really been no evidence to the contrary, the next question is whether or not Caja is immune from prejudgment security under Section 1509, where clearly, under the provisions of the statute, it is. That section says, subject to existing national agreements to which the United States is a party at the time of the enactment of this act, the property in the United States of a foreign state shall be immune from attachment, arrest, and execution except as provided in sections 1610, which is applicable here, and 1611, which is not. So they're clearly entitled to the immunity.
What about the New York Convention?
Then the next question is the New York Convention a pre-existing treaty under Section 1609? Clearly, it is not in relation to Argentina, because the United States entered into the agreement in 1970. The Sovereign Immunities Act, which gave immunity except for pre-existing treaties, was enacted in 1976. Argentina did not sign or enter into the New York Convention until 1989. So in relation to Argentina, the New York Convention can't be a pre-existing treaty because Argentina wasn't a party to it when the Sovereign Immunities Act was enacted.
I thought it only said that the United States had to be a party.
That's correct. But it would seem that if that's true, that would be contrary to the principle that at least the Stevens case from the Second Circuit enacted, which said the principle behind the prohibition in the Sovereign Immunities Act against the act should apply broadly. It would also seem contrary to the intent, which is to recognize and give immunity to foreign sovereigns. If it were a pre-existing agreement as to countries who had not signed it, it basically says there's going to be no immunity because the United States signed this treaty, and whatever immunity is given by Section 1609 is gone. I mean, it would be a nullity. What also leads me to think that that's not the way it's looked upon, even by litigants in this action, is that because in International's reply to the response to the motion to strike, they moved to strike the answer and affirmative defense, Caja responded, they replied, here's what they said with regard to this issue. And it's at Supplemental Appendix 153 provided by International. If an international treaty in which Argentina explicitly agreed to post prejudgment security existed at the time that the U.S. enacted the Sovereign Immunities Act, it would be a pre-existing treaty. Well, there was no treaty in which Argentina explicitly agreed to post pre-genital security, which existed at the time that the U.S. enacted the Sovereign Immunities Act. They didn't sign it until 1989. So it should not be, the New York Convention should not be a pre-existing treaty sufficient to overcome the immunity in Section 1609 given to Caja Nacional. The next question is, did Caja explicitly waive its immunity by signing the agreement in 1989? Section 1610 of the Sovereign Immunities Act says, the property of a foreign state used for commercial activity shall not be immune from attachments prior to entry of judgments in any action brought in the court of the United States, I'm leaving out some wording, if the foreign state has explicitly waived its immunity from attachments prior to judgments. It seems clear that signing the New York Convention subsequent to the Sovereign Immunities Act would not be an explicit waiver of that immunity.
I want to get back to, just for a minute, the instrumentality issue, because the other side did contest whether or not Caja was 100% owned, and there were certain documents that were submitted from the Internet, and specifically one of them, this January newsletter from the Consulate of Argentina stating that only 30% of the shares were owned by the government. And there was other information. Are you saying the district court was in error in taking that into account when he evaluated that, particularly in light of the Moore case, which talks about the fact that you should have someone who's actually an officer or a director of the company file an affidavit?
Yes, for two reasons. Number one, those documents are hearsay. Number two, the Moore case didn't say you had to have an officer or a director. It simply said the instrumentality in that case, I'm sorry, it was the opposite party in Moore that said the instrumentality did not have an affidavit of an officer or director. The court in Moore sent it back to get further information, but it did not say that the instrumentality had to file the affidavit of an officer or a director.
So you think Moore is distinguishable?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you believe your affidavits withstand the hearsay test as well?
Yes. They are factual. It is wholly owned by the government of Argentina.
Saying it's factual is enough. How is it framed? By their own knowledge, they know that stock is owned?
Based on personal knowledge and also corroborated, Mr. Moriera, the attorney for Caja, said his affidavit is based on personal knowledge and is also corroborated by the affidavit of the official from INDER, the government agency that administers Caja. And the affidavit of the attorney for INDER says, I am familiar with the facts and circumstances surrounding the service of process. Caja are wholly owned agencies of the government. The other reasons why Caja did not explicitly waive its immunity by subsequently entering into the New York Convention is the policy behind the Sovereign Immunities Act. In the Stevens case, they said the foreign sovereign attachment is forbidden by international law, adopted into federal common law, and subsequently codified by the Sovereign Immunities Act. That's pretty strong language. The cases which interpret what is an explicit waiver contain wording such as waive, immunity, explicitly waiving the immunity in Section 1609. The New York Convention wording does not seem specific enough or explicit enough to waive immunities that have already been given. And here's what the wording says. It doesn't say anything about immunity, doesn't mention waiver, it doesn't even mention prejudgment security. What it says is, If the district court, or I'm sorry, the authority before which the award is sought to be relied upon, if it considers proper, it may adjourn the decision on the enforcement of the award, and it may also, on the application of the party claiming enforcement, order the other party to give suitable security. It doesn't say pre-judgment, post-judgment. It doesn't say what kind of security. So it doesn't seem explicit enough to be a waiver of the immunity granted by Section 1509. Now, I found one court that addressed this issue tangentially, and it was in the Scandia case, which is in Caja's addendum, and it's on page 5 of the addendum. In a footnote in that case, the judge said, because I find that the New York Convention was an existing event, I need not decide the issue of waiver. I note that 1610, which establishes an exception to a sovereign's immunity to post-prejudgment security, the sovereign must explicitly waive its immunity. It is unlikely that I would find that respondent's invocation of the New York Convention constitutes such an explicit waiver as required by 1610. So the only judicial pronouncement on that is that invocating the convention, thus signing it, is not an explicit waiver. I see that my time is up. If there are no further questions, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Bond?
Thank you. If it pleases the court, my name is Douglas Bond. I represent the plaintiff appellee, International Insurance Company. Your Honors, both sides agree that if the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act is subject to the New York Convention under Section 1609 of the FSIA, then the district court was allowed to order prejudgment security, and its default judgment versus Caja should be affirmed. And that's because the New York Convention concerns arbitration agreements, not court actions, but private agreements to arbitrate. And where there's no, in a private agreement to arbitrate, there's no difference between a private party and a foreign sovereign. That was the ruling of Judge Wood in the Scandia case in the Southern District of New York, and that was the ruling of Judge Dara below. Both private parties and foreign sovereigns under the New York Convention are subject to its Article 6, which permits suitable security in the context of the desire of one party to enforce the arbitration agreement, to enforce a judgment pursuant to an arbitration agreement. Knowing this, Caja has come up with an inventive argument to figure out a way to get around the New York Convention. It has to do with the date on which Argentina acceded to the New York Convention. Now, the statute is explicit, as noted in questioning earlier. The United States is mentioned in Section 1609, not the foreign state. Specifically, 1609 states, subject to existing international agreements to which the United States is a party at the time of the enactment of this act, which was 1976, the property in the United States of a foreign state shall be immune from attachment, arrest, execution, except as provided hereunder. So the test is whether the United States was a party to an international treaty prior to the enactment of the FSIA. And in this case, the New York Convention was acceded to by the United States in 1970. The FSIA was enacted in 1976. Hence, Judge Dara below and Judge Wood in the Southern District of New York in the Scandia case involving the same defendant, Caja, both found that the New York Convention was a pre-existing agreement to which the FSIA is subject under 1609. Now, I want to emphasize that Judge Wood did not, in the Scandia case, and Judge Dara below, did not reach the question of whether there was an explicit waiver as required under Section 1610 of the FSIA. Judge Wood and Judge Dara simply relied on the clear language of Section 1609, stating that the FSIA, the immunity under the FSIA, is subject to existing agreements. There's a distinction. There are two ways, it seems to me, to find a waiver pursuant to the New York Convention. One is under 1609, which does not require an explicit waiver, but a waiver nonetheless, when the United States has been a party to a treaty prior to the FSIA being enacted, which we have here. The second way is under 1610, which is an exception. In other words, the FSIA, the Foreign Sovereign Immunity Act, is in play, but there's an exception under 1610D, which requires an explicit waiver. Judge Wood didn't get to the explicit waiver question, neither did the judge below. And this court need not consider whether the waiver was explicit or not. However, we believe that it is, given the purpose and meaning of the New York Convention.
What is the effect of the default, if, regardless of what we do, does this go back? Is there some point? Let's just say that the bond is posted. Is that then does it matter because of the default, or is there some way to whiff that default judgment?
I don't know the answer to that.
You don't, because if that default judgment is going to maintain, why would they ever post the bond and go forward with this, I guess?
At this point, it's my understanding that the default judgment's been entered. CAHA could have moved to lift the default judgment by indicating a desire and intention to post that security. That hasn't been forthcoming, and I doubt that it will be, Your Honor. But that would be something for CAHA.
What do you mean it hasn't been forthcoming and you doubt that it will be?
In other words, CAHA has not shown any indication that it desires to somehow overcome the default judgment by posting the required security under the Illinois Insurance Code.
What if they lose here?
I believe we will just continue with the enforcement proceedings that we have underway below.
That means some kind of collection?
Yes, a collection action, attempting to attach assets and so forth.
I see.
Can you speak to the ownership question of CAJA? Because obviously if we found that the government didn't own the majority of that company, we wouldn't even be here. I mean, we could reach it and not even get into the second issue. So what's your view of that? And I put to you the question I put to counsel, isn't there some affidavit you could have gotten from the government indicating that it wasn't solely owned? He attacked some of the evidence you presented to the district court from the internet saying was hearsay. Why couldn't you get some direct proof?
Well,
and what's your view of it?
Well, our view is that there's simply been no prima facie demonstration that CAHA is a instrument of a foreign sovereign. They've got affidavits from people that are attorneys for the entity, but not anybody, for instance, not from, apparently it's in liquidation in Argentina, which means runoff. The liquidator or runoff administrator has not submitted anything. The gentleman's name is, I believe, Mr. Sayens. There are affidavits from other individuals. We would have thought it would have been a fairly simple procedure or a simple way to demonstrate this, and it simply hasn't been done. So it's our view that it's their burden to present that prima facie case. And we would stand on the arguments in our briefs that they simply haven't made that presentation.
And you're referring to the 1994 liquidation?
I believe that was when the running off of the company began. It's my understanding that liquidation in Argentina means running off. It doesn't necessarily mean insolvency.
Was that an issue in the Scandia case about the instrumentality? you know.
Judge Wood mentioned that the issue of whether Kaha was a foreign sovereign was raised by the plaintiff in that action as well. She did not reach that issue, nor, in my reading of the opinion of Judge Dar below, he did not reach that issue either, but simply went to the foreign sovereign immunity issue.
Well, in their reply brief, your opponent says, furthermore, there is at least one case in which the court has held that Kaja is wholly owned by the government of Argentina. You don't think that's what that case held? Citing Scandia.
No. Judge Wood mentioned in that case that the plaintiff there had raised this issue and had contended that there had been no demonstration of instrumentality and simply did not reach that issue. I believe there's a footnote to that effect in the case. Now, the other issue I should raise at this point in response to the plaintiff's, to the appellant's reply brief, is the issue of where the international, the Inter-American Convention comes in all this. They're attempting to get around the application of the New York Convention by claiming that this other convention enacted later somehow wipes clean or nullifies the New York Convention. First of all, Argentina and the United States remain signatories to the New York Convention. The Inter-American Convention contains virtually the same language for the enforcement of international arbitration agreements and contains the virtually identical language enabling a court sitting in a member nation to assess suitable security against the party attempting to resist the enforcement of an arbitration award. So we would say that would be extremely formulaic to attempt to nullify the fact that the New York Convention was an existing agreement subject to Section 1609, and say that was somehow wiped away by a convention that came later that contains virtually the same provisions as the prior convention. If there are no other questions, I'll reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
What rebuttal?
Okay. I didn't know whether counsel had reserved time.
Well, he ran out of time.
Okay.
And this is your time. You can waive the rest of it if you like.
I'm willing to waive it, Your Honor. I'm finished.
Right,
there are no further questions.
Case will be taken under advisement.
Thank you.